Very excited about this. 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Chaz and AJ in the morning. She is back on the show. The very first female rock roadie in the world.
Huh, the world.
On the show. Tana Douglas. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, good morning.
Welcome back.
Hey, good morning to you.
Thanks for having me back.
Let's talk about Elton John, Yoko Ono, Sean Lennon at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're in the middle of a U.S. tour, and, you know, there's certain songs that Elton plays live, and there's certain ones that he doesn't. And Empty Garden, which is the song that honors John Lennon, he rarely performs that live because he finds he gets too emotional, you know, he's the consummate performer, you know, he's performed through a lot of different circumstances, but, you know, that song gets him every time, you know. But, you know, we were there, we're in Madison Square Garden, that was where he'd last played with John Lennon, so he felt it would be appropriate. And Yoko, you know, wanted to come down to the show, and she brought Sean down with her. And, you know, they decided that, you know, it would be a good thing to actually have them on stage and just, you know, let the audience, you know, give them a good cheer and you know, honor John.
Wow.
You know? So
I could almost hear the crowd screaming at the top of their lungs. You
it's
know?
A moment, yeah.
It was a touching moment, you know, it really was. And, of course, security was incredibly tight. You know, she had this army of, you know, men in black, you know, who were quite scary looking characters. You know, it was like, who are these guys?
We've had one of them on the show.
Well, these people
who's done security for her. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, there was a fleet of them, and they were all like dressed the same, and it was literally like, you know, men in black.
Well, if you think about all of the performances from Madison Square Garden through the history of time, all of the most famous performances, the Elton John, John Lennon performance is one of the most famous Madison Square Garden performances in the history of the world.
Yep.
They still have big pictures hanging
there.
It's one of the most memorable performances or anything that's ever happened there.
True, very true.
Wow, so what a moment.
Yeah, you know, and I'm on stage left. For some reason, I'm down, I'm just off the side of the stage. And I'm not sure why, because normally my position is the other side of the stage. But for some reason, I'm on that side of the stage. And they're walking along, and she goes, Yoko goes up on stage, and the steps are quite steep, you know. So, and obviously it's pitch black, you know. I mean, there's little strip lights and stuff, but not, you know, nothing that's obvious for the audience to see, you know. So, you know, and Sean's there, surrounded by these big guys, you know, and they're just about to bring him up the stairs and his shoelaces are undone. Whoops. You know. So, and it's like, oh my God, he's going to trip on these stairs, fall onto the stage in front of everybody. It's going to be a disaster, you know. And so here's me. So I just grab him, swoop him up, stick him on my knee stick him on a flight case and bend down on my knee and start doing up his shoelace. And these guys lose their minds. They're like, oh my God, the golden child, what's happened? Someone's grabbed him. You know?
Don't like, touch him! No. My God, you could have easily gotten a dart to the neck and then wake up 3 days later.
Right. On a tropical island somewhere.
Exactly, on my own.
Yeah.
And you know, so it's like, and I've looked at them, I've got his shoelaces undone. What are you guys thinking? You know, it's like you don't, you know, the things you don't do is, you know, you don't hurt rock stars or their children. They don't like it, you know.
If you want to keep your job. Sing.
If you want to keep your job. Yeah, look after the golden child, for God's sake, you know. So, and you know, these guys were really gruff. And, you know, Sean was really sweet. I mean, he was little at the time, you know, and he just sort of gave me a hug. And then, you know, they dragged him off. And it was like, oh, there you go. Well,
that's
at least his shoelaces are done up, you know. So.
You know, it's funny when you hire an army of protectors. These people are trained in knife, gun, hand-to-hand.
Right.
Getting someone out of a building quickly.
Right.
They don't think shoelaces might take someone out.
There's nothing in the guide right there. Shoelace, what do we do? I don't know.
Yeah.
Can you tie a shoelace? I can't.
We need Velcro.
Right.
Yeah. Velcro.
Get duct tape.
Duct tape.
Exactly. You know,
what
and
was
it's
that?
Funny because AC/DC were the same. It took them a really long time to find security guards they were comfortable with. Because, you know, their comment was they're really big and that we can't see where we're going and they bump into us. And it's like it's, you know, it's horrible. You know, I mean, finally they found people that, you know, figured it out. But But it's the same thing, you know. They've got their mind on one thing, and that should be protecting the one that they're guarding, you know.
So when Elton played that song, what was that like?
Oh, it was huge, yeah. It was a definite emotional moment, and it's a moment that you want to be there for, you know. So it's, you know, it's something that you keep in your mind, and it's like, you know, one of those special times that you have.
Yeah, of all the shows you've seen, of all the moments backstage,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's one of your top three, would you say?
Yeah, it was very special. You know, and Madison Square Garden's special as well, because the Union crew there call me Cupcakes.
That's a fun name.
Wow. Cupcake.
And I'm the most un-cupcake girl you can imagine.
You're more of a Suzy Q.
Yeah. You're more like muscle.
Well, it was funny because I was having a bit of a hard time with them. You know, we're doing the load-in, and the Union is so strict on what you can touch, what you can't touch, what you can do when, you know. And we had a bit of a hiccup with the electricity on the load-in, and it was like, come on, guys, just, you know, can we do this, you know? And they're all, you know, talking to me, and they, you know, and the accent's just slaying me. It's like, I love accents, and they just drive me. I mean, I just love them. I get, like in Scotland, when I first went to Scotland, I would ask the dumbest questions just to hear people speak, you know.
I don't blame you.
So I'm doing the same thing with the Union boys, who you don't play with in Madison Square Garden. You know, you upset them, and you've got a problem on your hands.
You got a problem. Ask Steve Martin. He's got
to black
story.
And off we go.
We're going to take a break. So I just asked you about your top three moments, and you said the Elton John playing Empty Garden, Madison Square Garden is a top three moment. I'm going to ask you to contemplate the other two. Rock and Roll's first female roadie is on, and I got to tell you, this book, one, you have to get it. It's called Loud, A Life in Rock and Roll by the World's First Female Roadie. Great book, and it should be a series.
Wow.
Not a movie.
Yeah.
There's too many stories.
Right.
It's got to be a series.
Exactly.
With multiple seasons.
I like it.
Yeah. Tana Douglas is on.
She
told us about a moment at Madison Square Garden where Elton John paid tribute to John Lennon by singing a song he very rarely does live, Empty Garden. And then I said, well, what would two other moments be to make your top three moments at live shows? What do you think those other two would be, Tana?
Well, I guess one would have to be The Who at Wembley Stadium, you know, because that was back in 79, and I'd been in England 3 years, and that was pretty much a turning point in my career, you know, because I'd been working for an English band, Status Quo, and they'd just taken a year sabbatical for tax reasons. So, you know, I jumped over to The Who were just, you know, starting to do shows. They just lost Keith Moon, their drummer.
Wow.
And these were the first live shows that they were doing to see, you know, like, you know, what impact's that going to have on the band. I mean, obviously a huge impact.
Yeah.
But, you know, they brought Kenny Jones in, and in my mind at the time, Kenny was the only person who could really fill those shoes. And just as a personality to match within the band as much as his drumming, you know, as well, you know. So, you know, I mean, it's 6 a.m, you're standing on a big empty stage, you're looking out at this huge stadium that's still covered in mist, you know. And, you know, I'm standing there going, you know, when a band can sell out 80,000 theaters, which was huge in those days, you know, the band's made it, you know, because it sold out, you know. So that answered their question, you know. And then I sort of realized as well, you know, when you work for the band that's done that, then you've kind of made it too. So it was
right.
Kind of an eye-opening moment for me, you know, because normally you just come in, you start working, you don't stop and take a minute and look around and do all that sort of stuff, you know.
Take it in.
So I did actually stop and take it in for that moment. Just, you know, it was lucky. I mean, I was waiting on a rigger, so it was okay. I could do that, you know.
Did Roger Daltrey ever hit himself with that microphone?
You know, I never saw it, but it's happened a couple of times.
Oh, okay.
and it's got really close a couple of times. But you know what? That's one of those things, like, don't touch that, it's hot.
Yeah.
Once you learn, you don't do it again.
I can see him hitting Pete Townsend a couple of times accidentally. Oh, damn it!
I've never seen anyone do with a mic what he has done with a mic, ever.
Well, it's true. But, you know, but at the time, Keith's drum kit was probably more dangerous than that, you know.
I can just picture the first couple of times before they actually taped it, like the microphone disappears into the audience. And you're, don't, ow!
Well, yeah, I mean, it was reinforced and all sorts of stuff. I mean, his guy had that down to a fine art. You know, they had it reinforced. You know, they had, you know, ways. Otherwise, you know, it would just fly out of the cannon clip and all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, a little bit of technology went into keeping that together, you know, apart from just his art of swinging it, you know. So that was a huge one. Plus, you know, AC/DC was one of the support bands on that show. And I hadn't
seen
them. You know, I hadn't really gotten to see them. I think I'd had dinner with them once, you know, since I'd left, you know, working with them in Australia. But since they'd arrived in the UK, they came over just a little bit after I did. And, you know, so, they played a couple of pub gigs in town and, you know, we'd all gone out for a meal afterwards and that sort of stuff. But, you know, but I thought, well, you know, this would be good, you know, because it's nice. They're doing a huge show and they're where they should be, you know, so... I was really excited for them as well, you know, and that was the last time I saw Bon Scott. So, you know, that was kind of an after the fact moment, you know, that was really quite personal.
And did you ever work with? Did you ever work with Queen?
No, I never worked with Queen. No.
What about the Queen?
No.
Yeah,
the Queen. Yes.
That's a big deal.
I did a gig for the Queen.
Really? Oh, was she a handful?
Amazing.
Yeah, keeping her in line was tough. All the late night
crowd surfing,
exactly.
She was doing, and,
exactly. Right. Put down the bottle, Queen.
Well, thankfully, she was just a member of the audience, but it was a private affair at Windsor Castle, and it was Prince Andrew's birthday, and he's obviously gone. You know, she's gone. Andrew, what would you like for your birthday, son? You know. I'd like Elton John, please, Mumsy. You know.
Wow.
And so it is done.
So she's like, can we get him an Elton John, please?
And Elton John. She had no idea.
Bring me an Elton John.
Is it some sort of toy?
How do you wrap that?
Well, with great care.
Maybe it's a toilet.
All right. Tana Douglas is on, Rock's first female roadie. And she brought Elton John and the whole crew over to play for Prince Andrew and Queen Elizabeth. Wow.
Wow.
That's a biggie.
Yeah, that was our trip to Windsor Castle.
That's the castle, isn't it?
It's like, Windsor Castle?
Yeah.
What?
Like, you want to, that's the castle. Like, if you're going to go to
the castle. Yeah. If you're going to do a gig at a castle, it might as well be that one.
That's the castle.
Yeah. No,
that's,
Buckingham Palace. Yeah. You want Windsor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a first, you know, I mean, normally, you know, we were in a private section of the castle where, you know, cause the public can actually go through certain sections of the castle and see what's there and the history and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, the section we went into was where the actual family, you know, resides when they're in the castle themselves, you know. So, and it was a huge bash, you know. It was Prince Andrew's birthday, and he was actually he was turning 21. It was his 21st birthday.
Wow.
And so it was huge.
Yeah, don't spoil the kid too much.
Wow.
It was. You know what? And those guys can party, I got to tell you.
Really?
I mean, they could put us to shame. Oh, yeah.
Now, when you say those guys, are you including Queen Elizabeth?
I can't say that.
So that'd be yes.
You can't say or you won't
She's
say?
Putting down the whiskey, wasn't she?
You're trying to get me on that island again, aren't you, on my own?
No.
Prince Philip has been known, it's publicly known to have been a partier.
You know, the whole, you know, I think it runs in the family. You know, it's, you know, it was huge. I mean, this bash would put people to shame, you know. I mean, why not? You know, it's not as though they can't afford it.
What else is there to do? Right? Like, you go and you cut a ribbon.
Right.
You go to a polo match. And then let's drink.
Let's get snuggled.
Exactly.
And then you go back to the castles, 217 rooms not being used. Let's have Elton John sit in one of them.
Yeah.
Right. Queen's doing shots.
Was there any unusual protocol or part of that show for you?
Yeah, there was quite a bit, actually. It was quite hilarious. We, you know, first of all, we had to get kitted out in formal attire, you know, and so we had to find out what was the appropriate attire to wear because, you know, obviously you know, you don't want to, you know, arrive, or like, you know, all the guys on the crew and me, obviously the only girl once again. And so, you know, they sent them all down to, you know, Covent Garden area where they've, you know, you can hire all these, you know, formal outfits for guys, you know, for all these events that happen around England. You know, they're very into that sort of thing. And so they got kitted up quite easily. And then it came to me and it's like, well, what does a woman wear? Well, she normally wears a full length evening gown. It's like, well, that's not going to happen, is it? And it's like, well, it might have to. And it's like, oh, hell no.
I'm going to climb rigging in a long skirt and heels.
What did you, they tortured me for a few days, making me go to these different places and try on all these things. And it was like, and it was just mortifying. It was like, oh God, this is so embarrassing. And finally, we had to send a letter off to the palace and say, look, you know, can we get some sort of compensation, because she can't work in a dress, you know? So we got allowance for me, because you're not supposed to wear pants in front of the queen if you're a female, you know. Really? You're supposed to wear a dress, you know.
Old school, definitely old school.
I'm trying to think, when Andrew was 21, then Prince Charles is older, mid-20s or whatever. Wow, and they were all there, the whole crew.
Yeah, they were in full party mode. You know what I mean?
This is before Princess Diana. Oh, she was there. Oh,
yeah. No, she was there. It was before they got married, but she was there.
Holy crap!
So, yeah.
Did you talk to her?
I did, actually. Yeah, she came.
I'm 1 degree away from Princess Diana right now.
What?
Just so you know.
So where's the bathroom?
Yeah, she came down while we were setting up, and the lights were like maybe a chest height. You know, we just sort of rigged everything. We just floated it up, you know, to a working level so we could check everything. And so we were just flashing through the system, making sure everything was working, you know. And she comes bounding up, you know, and she's sort of like, oh, you know, does it go any higher?
The lights, right?
you try not to laugh. It's like, well, yeah, of course it does. And you go, well, yeah, yeah, yeah. And so we explained it, you know, took her up to the desk and let her push a couple of buttons. And it's like, oh, this is great. Next time I come down, I'll bring the princess. You know, and it's like, oh, okay, lovely. Bye.
That's so,
you know,
cool.
She was very nice. And then the queen, of course, I had an encounter with her as well. It was like the condition of me wearing pants was that I did not make my presence known, you know. So I was supposed to, I guess, you know, I was quite happy to hide backstage, you know. That was fine by me, you know. So, and we had follow spot operators up on a balcony. We used the galley. The room we used was the portrait galley. So there is actually like a mezzanine area at one end of it. So
We're going to pick up when we have you back. We're going to start with your interaction with the Queen.
Okay, cool.
Ugh. Love this.
This is awesome.
Can we just keep you?
Forever.
All right, Tana, thank you. We're linked up to all your stuff on the radio station website. This book is amazing. Thank you, Tana.
Thank you.